This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So Bill O'Brien was busy again yesterday.
He was.
Yeah.
William O'Brien, the general manager of this team. Listen, everybody, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm about to,
on the nose.
About to let you in on a little secret of mine that is something I've been feeling secretly these last, I'd say, really 24 hours.
Yeah, let me gather in here.
I'm fully 100% almost, I've almost stepped completely into the Bill O'Brien van where he pulls up next to me and he says, "Hey, Seth, I've got tacos here. Just come on in." And
he almost went and got a taco.
And I'm almost, yes, exactly. Exactly. He pulled the taco truck up.
He did.
So this van where you go in and you stop worrying about future draft picks. You stop worrying about how much the salary cap is going to allow you
right.
to do.
Right. You're just like, give me guacamole.
It's all about the now, baby.
Yeah.
This William O'Brien in his magical taco van tried to get taco chow. I felt like, you know what it was, Sean? Because we came up with the taco van, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Our taco van metaphor was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
All of a sudden, yesterday, I'm reading about how supposedly the Texans were in discussions to trade for Taco Charlton, the defensive end, a guy who's had perhaps effort issues.
Yeah.
He's been described as soft by various people, yet is a very, very talented former first-round defensive end for the Cowboys. And Bill O'Brien was trying to get him probably on a discount, trying to trade for him before he hit the waiver wire.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of does it for me, man. William O'Brien, the GM, is kind of, he's tweaking me in the right way a little bit.
O'Brien's like, there's one way to get this van to smell like tacos. We'll go get someone named Taco. Smell that?
Now we're going to hold it. This is a whole different metaphor road we're going down. Come on in, Taco.
Yeah, you smell my friend Taco.
I want this van to smell like tacos, and I ain't got no ground beef.
You know,
get it in my van, Taco.
You know what my favorite style of taco is? Charlton. Charlton Taco.
He has a celebration where he does a little, the guys get in line, and he fixes up a little air taco and gives it to him, and then somebody else comes up in line. He does, I swear.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was a sack celebration he had.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That I will say about Taco Charlton is that he is wasting one of the greatest endorsable first names in the history of the NFL being such a bad football player.
He actually might have been able to trademark Taco Tuesday, unlike LeBron and his feeble attempts.
Exactly.
Right.
Why can't I trademark it? It's my first name.
Oh, you want to talk about marketability? You're right. His name's Taco. He's in Texas. The amount of NFL players in Texas or California or Arizona who don't speak Spanish is dismaying to me. I used to, as a player, all the time. Now, I did not practice what I preached, but I said, guys, if you have one guy on your team that's fluent in Spanish, do you understand the marketability? The guy could have his own show on Mega for an hour a week.
Yeah.
It'd be huge. I think the Texans should have intensive Spanish language courses in the facility to teach guys.
Should everybody be required, or should we just pick out a handful of players?
I think it should be.
I feel like Deshaun doesn't need Spanish on
I'm going to anger everybody. I think it should be mandated by the government. Somebody just drove off the road.
Open the text page here. Wait and see the fallout from that.
The phone lines lighting up.
It's not being serious, everybody. I feel like I wouldn't want Deshaun to be required to take Spanish just because he's got a lot on his plate.
No.
I'm told this is very complex offense.
It should be for defensive linemen because we've got the least on our
plate. Or like those six guys they have on the team that only play special teams. Like Buddy Howell, A.J. Moore, Colin Gillespie, although he's becoming a bigger part of the offense.
Special teams is a lot of mental work, though, too.
Yeah, but you play like 10 snaps in the
game,
and you're running down. I'm just running down. I'm going to tackle
it's
somebody.
It's not that simple, man.
Well, that's what the layperson sees.
You got to read returns, and it's scary. It's not as scary as it used to be. Now, it used to be really scary when there were wedges and everything. You could get blindsided running down on kickoff. But I always was like third string kickoff at various times, but I put work into it because I was terrified that I was going to get out there and get blindsided. And it's to try to figure that stuff out. But I know what you're saying.
John Weeks, Kymie Fairbairn, and whoever's punting that given week, they need to learn Spanish.
Your kicker should. I think your kicker and your punter should always be fluent Spanish speakers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Connect with the soccer community as well.
Purely for selfish reasons. There's endorsement opportunities. This has nothing to do with anything that's right or wrong.
Right.
This has to do with, I want these guys to make some money. There's endorsement opportunities out there that they're not capitalizing on.
Especially Tuesday is your day off as a football player.
Taco Charlton Tuesday?
Could have had Taco Tuesday. His show,
his
local radio show that he did on his off day, could have been Taco Tuesday. Maybe it was. I have no idea.
He might get here. And this is the thing about the Cowboys defense. They fly around. Rod Marinelli, who's been a defense coordinator forever in the NFL, has his guys playing 100 miles an hour all the time. That's one thing the Cowboys defense does really well. And apparently Taco Charlton just isn't wired that way. He's not that kind of guy that's kind of a hard-edged, hey, I'm gonna fly sideline to sideline type of guy. That's what makes it curious to me. And it's what also kind of intrigues me, is that, look, we know Bill O'Brien's a hard-ass about this stuff. We know that at least one of the issues he had with Jadeveon Clowney was that he wasn't quite the worker bee that he wanted. It's been reported as such.
Yes.
So it is curious to me. I wonder what they were thinking with Taco Charlton. What was their plan? Is this something that they thought that the culture of the team could help change him? Because that Cowboys, I love to pick on the Cowboys. That Cowboys defensive culture is a pretty good one. They play hard. They're the kind of guys that I would like to play football with. You feel like those guys are, they're blue collar guys, you know? So do they... I'm just curious as like how exactly they were going to incorporate Taco Charlton and what some of his reported issues are.
The blogging the boys is a blog that covers the Cowboys. They were speculating that the Cowboys might have wanted to get a safety from the Texans if they were to have made a trade for Taco Charlton. Which safety? How far do you go? Justin Reed's the gold standard. You're not trading him. The other safeties on the depth chart, I guess in order, would be you start Reed's at the top and then Tayshawn Gibson. And then Jahlil Adai, and then A.J. Moore. Do you trade any of those guys for Taco Charlton
if you were
William O'Brien?
I think A.J. Moore, perhaps, but I think also you're talking about a guy who's a first-round talent, but he's getting cut by the team that he's with.
Yeah.
They don't want him. So I'm not going to – the Texans want all those safeties that are on their roster.
They do.
Right
they
now.
Like them all.
So maybe I'll give up an A.J. Moore or one of the other guys, but – there's going to have to be something else coming back in return, too. And it's as simple as that. I like the notion of, and somebody texted in and said, well, what's the difference between Taco Charlton and Jadeveon Clowney? I'd say, one, Clowney's been a very productive football player. But two, the big difference is price. That you'd be getting Taco Charlton for $1 million for this year with no obligations on him. And it's one of those things where you've increased the overall talent on your team because he's physically talented. It's just a matter of, is he salvageable? Are you going to pay him $1 million and get anything out of him? Because the upside is really high. If there's some part of him, it doesn't sound like he's a bad guy.
No.
Right? It just sounds like he might not have an edge to him.
He did, right. And he didn't play well there. That's what happens in the NFL. You don't play well.
The difference, and to be very clear and concise about it, the difference between Jadeveon Clowney and Taco Charlton is $15 million.
Yes.
That's the big difference.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also the fact that Taco Charlton balled out against the Texans in week 3 of the preseason. Would we be concerned that there's any of that going on where in the past we've seen the Texans fall in love with players that have destroyed them at some point? I call it the Chris Polk syndrome. Remember Chris Polk had that big game against the Texans when he was with the Eagles in 2014? And next thing you know, we're watching Hard Knocks and O'Brien's there rolling film on Chris Polk, talking about him like he's Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
And Rick Smith was even clowning Bill O'Brien over that. Like, man, Billy wants to put him in the Hall of Fame. Wow. Lamar Miller, remember Lamar Miller ran for like 800 yards against the Texans in that one game in 2015. Next thing you know, these are big free agent signings.
This is the kind of thing where the coach's bias sometimes gets in his own way and the GM needs to step in and say, whoa there, buddy. So I don't know.
That would be an awfully interesting conversation in the Texans building.
Did Bill O'Brien talk to William O'Brien about this or did he go rogue and act on his own?
I would pay to hear that conversation.
I feel like Bill O'Brien, I would almost kind of prefer it if Bill O'Brien actually had the multiple personality disorder.
Oh, it would be great.
If he really did, if he started to split into two different
humans.
He gets
asked a GM question at his press conference. He's like, you got to ask William about that. He handles all the contracts.
Romeo
He's
walks
third personing his other personality.
Romeo walks into the office and William O'Brien is having a fight with himself, like strangling himself. Because Bill O'Brien is strangling William O'Brien. He can't stand the decisions he's made.
That is great. Shifting gears quickly, did you see this this endorsement that Gardner Minshew was offered? The quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I couldn't figure out if it was real or not.
I went and Googled it on, I put it in my Google machine and clicked on the news button, and it's on there as news.
Yeah.
Cam Soda, which is a sort of a webcam site. A lot of adult film stars have Cam Soda accounts where people can go on there and, you know, watch them do certain things, do ask me anything type things on there, except they're naked, that kind of thing. Well, Gardner Minshew, the story came out last week as he was becoming more and more relevant, that he likes working out in the locker room wearing just a jock strap.
Right, he'll warm up and stuff. He does. He's kind of a...
Which is where he jumped the shark for me right about that.
Yeah, that was a little bit... I wonder, not that any of those guys are going to file Me Too charges or anything, but that's something that's funny at first, but all right, like, is this, did you do it for a few seconds and it's a joke? I don't need to see a guy bending over and torquing and twisting everything like for 10 extended minutes anywhere in my vicinity.
I'm not the former athlete on the show. Yeah. You are?
Yeah.
That feels like something to me where you need to have been on the team for at least 8 years before you can go. Like, that feels like something towards the end that Chris Myers would have done with the Texans.
Yeah.
Do his stretching exercises in just a jock strap.
So this company, Cam Soda.
Yeah, they have a weekly exercise class called Cam Soda Fit. It's an online fitness program taught by a roster of adult entertainment stars. And they have offered Gardner Minshew the deal of a lifetime. And they were going to pay him $1 million.
To be a brand ambassador.
Yes.
Not to lead the classes or anything, but to be a brand ambassador.
For their penis puppet line. I don't know what that is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was for the exercise classes.
No, I'm looking at the actual letter they sent to him. There's a copy of it.
Oh, we'd love you to be the official brand ambassador of our member puppet line.
Yes.
Oh, the kids are in. Oh, no, they're
in school. That's why
line.
I slotted this at 8:05.
Which we launched in 2017. The knit costumes that fit over your... Jeez.
Your dude.
Yeah, and his buddies are available in several styles, a watermelon, elephant, and vampire. Can I get a dormouse? And this year, we plan on unveiling new designs, including a jaguar. Oh, so
okay,
he's gonna be the
jaguar. There you go.
Now, they're going to offer him up to $1 million. They said up to $1 million. So, okay. For one, this isn't a hard offer of $1 million.
This feels like one of those incentive-based contracts.
This is a soft offer. So... For the hard offer of $1 million would be interesting, but this is a soft offer for up to $1 million.
Let's pretend for a second that it's $1 million.
Yeah.
Do you do this if you're Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I would do that. But all you have to do is stand there with a watermelon over your junk.
I say that because it probably...
It's not a real offer.
It probably... I'm just playing pretend here for a second.
Yeah.
It probably removes you from the list for other potential offers down the road. I think if he were to say yes to this and it were $1 million... It would say a lot about what Gardner Minshew feels like his future holds for him.
Yeah.
Because if you're a quarterback of an NFL team, if you feel like you're going to be that guy someday, you want to make sure that you have that clean image to where you could be endorsing auto dealerships.
That's a good point. Or Nike.
Yeah.
Some of the really
shoes.
Big stuff.
This feels like it would be a bit of a cash grab.
No, this is all consenting adults doing things that consenting adults do. This is, and then also every now and then you want to put a puppet over your member,
you,
I guess.
You
and,
needn't explain it to me. I'm talking about the people on Madison Avenue that make the decisions.
The puppet member thing is a little, I don't know about that. That part actually I do need a little explanation
I'm
for.
I'm going to go look
is
these
up.
Is
that something you do
break.
Just as like a gag once and every now? Or are people kind of into that? Like, do they walk, like walking around naked, but you want to be sure that you're warm enough as you walk around the house.
Am I going to get in trouble being on the company network Googling Cam Soda penis puppet?
No, you're fine.
Am I? Okay.
No, they've done way worse than that.
There we go. All right. I just want to see what style.
You know what it is, though?
Oh, they're branded as Halloween costumes for your...
Yeah. That's what... Yeah. Okay. So I think that... I think that this is a brilliant marketing ploy by Cam Soda. I don't think they ever intend to give him any actual money or for him to accept it.
They've probably gotten $1 million worth of pub out of
right.
it already, right?
Yeah.
I think
somebody's going to Google it. You Googled it.
I did.
All they want is somebody to Google it.
I might buy one of these things. I'm going to ask Amy which one she would like me to go ahead and buy.
Somebody's saying that they're pretty sure that your girl Lisa Ann is on Cam Soda.
She is. She has a Cam Soda account, yeah. She charges membership fees for it.
Oh,
makes a lot of money.
Hey, somebody just pointed out there are a bunch of schools closed.
Well, good. That means they're not no kids are in the car. They're sleeping in.
Yeah.
So we should have talked about this an hour ago, is what you're telling me. All right. Which team is the odds-on favorite to land Jalen Ramsey? You can bet on these things If it's true, then this is bad news for the rest of the AFC. We'll discuss it next. So betonline.ag, Seth, has odds on where Jalen Ramsey will play next. He's still with the Jacksonville Jaguars, reportedly still going to play tonight, which if they're going to trade him is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But I suppose that would be a tell.
It would be dumb for him to play tonight if they're going to trade him on Friday.
If they're hell-bent on trading, because we've heard reports that it could happen as early as Friday. If there's a deal imminent, then I can't even imagine that they would be playing him. This tells me that whatever talk we've heard about deals being imminent or offers that have been really good that the Jags are seriously considering, those reports are inaccurate. Because I don't think, is any NFL team dumb enough to take a guy who they're on the verge of trading, especially trading for what could be a king's ransom? They could be getting a first or maybe multiple first-round picks for him. Is any team that dumb where they would play that guy the night before a trade could get consummated?
It would depend on how ironclad is the trade. If the trade is ironclad, then yeah, he's not playing. But if it's a kind of a contingency and somebody's half in, half out, how long do you string the process out? So there's a good chance that he gets traded on Friday, but maybe the deal isn't 100% there yet, and somebody jumps in on Friday. If the deal is in place, then I don't know why they... I don't understand why they wouldn't... If the deal's in place, why wouldn't they just do it on Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah, I don't know.
If he plays tonight, I would say there's no deal in place. I guess that's what we know.
Yeah.
There's no deal in place. That doesn't mean that there won't be one on Friday, but it's just much less likely.
Do you think he gets moved? That's a broad question. Do you think he gets moved this season?
Does he get moved this season? Boy, it's so hard. It's so much harder to predict these things now because everything's gone so crazy and awry. I don't think he does. I think it turns into, hey, the Jaguars maybe the Jaguars come to terms with him and have some kind of a we won't franchise tag you type of arrangement. Just play this season out and let's see what happens, and we won't franchise tag you. This is the thing. When all these people start worrying that, oh, wow, this is what all these players are going to start doing these days, it's what they're going to do if they're really, really good. I think only really, really good players have the ability to do this. I don't like Jalen Ramsey pulling this stuff midseason. I don't like jockeying for a trade when you're on a team that's potentially competitive. That should be potentially good. The Dolphins, that's a whole different deal. Minkah Fitzpatrick, he's on a team that's actively trying to lose. Not the players. Remember, it's never the players that are trying to lose. It's the front office is actively plotting against the players on the field.
Well, and in a sport like football, that puts you in harm's way. When you're on a team with bad players as your teammates, there is an increased chance, whatever the percentage is, an increased chance that you're going to get hurt in some way.
Especially as a defensive player.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to be playing 80 snaps a game because the offense can't stay on the field, and I'm going to be out there as a safety at times.
And tackling all the time because our defensive line's getting mauled.
So I say, honestly, any of those players that can do whatever, they can do whatever the hell they want in Miami because it's a strategy. I'm not saying that tanking or resetting is necessarily wrong anymore, but the players can do whatever the hell they want in that case. With Jalen Ramsey, I think teams have got to be looking at it and saying, for one, okay, we're going to bring Jalen Ramsey in. What's to say Jalen Ramsey's going to be happy here after a few weeks? Because Antonio Brown and Jalen Ramsey are different people. Antonio Brown's a whack job. Jalen Ramsey, it's a much more calculated affair. You know, Jalen Ramsey knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know if Antonio Brown, but Antonio Brown forced his way out of Pittsburgh, got himself to Oakland, and then all of a sudden, never played a single snap there.
Yep.
And I wonder if teams are kind of thinking, all right, how much do we want to give up for a guy that's not under contract and potentially could be disgruntled here too? So I think that maybe Jalen Ramsey starts to realize that too and just says, all right, we're going to play this year out. Don't franchise tag me. And I can actually choose where I want to go next year.
Do you think Jalen Ramsey, if they were to move him, winds up getting a contract extension out of this too?
I think he would have to. This is like a clowning situation. It has to. Nobody's going to trade a first-round pick without having anything more than that. I don't think somebody's going to trade a first rounder for Ramsey where the only leverage they have over him is the franchise tag, because I think Ramsey will make it real difficult on
them. Just to be clear, he's under the fourth year of his rookie contract this year.
Oh, they've got the fifth
year
option.
Fifth year option's been exercised. So theoretically, he's under contract
already
for 19 and 20, and then they've got the franchise tag in 21. So it's not totally congruous to the Clowney situation, but I get what you're saying.
But he's got to be, I would think that he's got to be happy with the deal that they potentially have in place. Yeah. I think they have to give him a new deal because he's shown that he's willing to do whatever it takes to show his disgruntlement. A lot of other guys will be disgruntled, but they're not going to be public about it.
Yep.
So I think he's a case. Laremy Tunsil would have wanted out of Miami. I think Laremy Tunsil could see that Houston was a better situation. So you don't worry about that as much. With Jalen Ramsey, who's actively trying to get out of there, I think you got to have a deal with him before you trade for him.
So the favorite to land Jalen Ramsey's services, a pretty prohibitive favorite, I guess, is the Kansas City Chiefs at 2.5 to 1, 5 to 2. They are the favorite to land Jalen Ramsey. The New England Patriots are next at 5 to 1.
Oh, God.
So you have the two best teams in the AFC, at least coming into the season.
Yeah.
The Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders are next at 6 to 1. That's one of the two teams that Jalen Ramsey has publicly said he would love to go play for.
He didn't even say he wanted to go to play for the Raiders. He said he wanted to go play for Las Vegas, which would make me nervous.
It would make me nervous. I don't know how nervous it's going to make John Gruden, although maybe they're gun-shy. Look, of all the teams that might be gun-shy about doing something like this,
right,
it might be the Raiders because they're the ones that got burned by Antonio Brown.
I wonder, what do you think it's like, the dynamic between Gruden and Mayock right now, where I know they're buds and they're getting along and everything, but Gruden was the one that wanted Antonio Brown. Mayock wants character guys. And Mayock, even though the franchise loses, Mayock kind of won that battle. I think maybe the next time that Gruden has some cockamamie idea, Mayock's going to be able to say, look, John, do you want another situation like this?
If their behavior publicly is any indication of how they truly felt about Antonio Brown, then that relationship between Gruden and Mayock has to be damaged to some degree,
yeah,
right? Because Gruden, and we had Hard Knocks that followed Gruden around to give us at least a window. That's why I say if it was real. We don't know how much of this stuff is real and how much of it is an act. Could there have been some behind-the-scenes conversations where Gruden and Mayock sort of agreed, like, hey, we both know we're a better team with this guy on the team, but one of us needs to be the bad cop, or this guy's just going to run roughshod over us.
Yeah.
Turns out Mayock was the bad cop, and he ran roughshod over them anyways. They ended up getting out of his deal.
Right, but he's a cracker-ass cracker, is what he is.
He did. That's what he called him.
I don't know if he said cracker-ass cracker.
No, he said cracker.
We don't know for sure if it was cracker-ass cracker.
But that would really be fighting words.
That's the
you tack on the ass cracker.
That's a releasing with no guaranteed money.
That's what that is. But if we're to believe their demeanor publicly, I would say then that Gruden and Mayock, that this has to be something where damages the relationship to a degree.
Right.
Gruden looked like a total clown in this thing. Like, Mayock is the one who comes across as a business person in this, as someone who, he comes across as an adult. Gruden comes across as a jock sniff, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's been watching Antonio Brown highlight.
Yeah.
So we say all that to tell you, I don't think you or I believe that he'll actually end up with the Raiders.
I don't.
That Jalen Ramsey will end up with the Raiders.
Right. The next on the list is the Saints. I think their quarterback injury probably changes how they're approaching things a little bit when it comes to giving up a ton of stuff. The Titans are next at 9 to 1, and that's Jalen Ramsey's hometown. He's from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. After that, it's a bunch of teams that are at 10 to 1, including the Chargers, Cowboys, Eagles, Packers, Seahawks, and 49ers.
Which of those teams would be comfortable trading a high pick knowing that Jalen might not actually be happy there a year from now? I feel like the Patriots and the Chiefs would both be in that boat. I think those two teams are confident enough that they could actually get him to stick around. Or we know with Belichick. Belichick traded a first rounder for Brandon Cooks, then turned around and traded him a year later for another first round pick.
Yeah.
So I think Belichick has got the confidence to be able to say, yeah, he's going to come in here, he's going to play great, he's going to look awesome, he's going to win a Super Bowl. Then maybe he goes off somewhere else or we trade him and everything will be great.
I think the other thing we need to remember, Seth, is that not all first round picks are created equal.
That's true.
And so the Chiefs and the Patriots, to me, are the two teams on that list of a dozen or so teams that can with the most confidence say, we're going to be picking like 30th at worst.
We'll give up, when they give up a first round pick, it's not as big a deal. But
by
the same token, are the Jaguars sitting there thinking, you're going to give me a 30th pick overall for Jalen Ramsey? No. The Raiders' first round pick is a lot more valuable than the Patriots' first round pick.
Oh, no. If those teams are all, like, if yeah.
As far as getting an actual deal done.
Yeah. If you're assuming the Raiders are in these conversations offering a first round pick, you take theirs every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots and the Chiefs are going to be really, really good.
So we don't want the Patriots or the Chiefs to get them. We don't want the rich getting richer. I'd be okay.
Correct.
I could live with the Raiders. Who are the NFC teams that are high on the list?
The Saints, the Cowboys, the Eagles, Packers, Seahawks, and Niners. The Seahawks would be an interesting one because if you're the Seahawks, You've still, I think, got an extra second-round pick from the Frank Clark trade. Mm-hmm. You just gave up a third-round pick for Clowney, but you almost feel like you're playing with house money. We got Jadeveon Clowney for this season for next to nothing. Boy, do we make another run at Jalen Ramsey here, and then if the guy gets a little bit jerky, then we move him in the offseason. If not, we've added Clowney and Jalen Ramsey to our defense this season.
Ramsey's got, he's the kind of corner that they really like. I mean, everybody should love Jalen Ramsey as a corner, but Pete Carroll really loves
him. He would have been a Legion of Boom
type
guy.
Those rangy guys that can play press man and be physical, and yeah, he'd really like him a lot.
Yep. So, quick to answer a question on the text page, if the Jags play Ramsey tonight in that game, and then trade him on Friday or Saturday, he can't play for his new team on Sunday or Monday if they were to trade for him.
It would be cool if he did.
That would be badass.
But that's a rule. You can only play in one game per week unless it's Thursday Night Football.
That's right.
So, or one game every, it's like every 14 days or whatever, however they calculate.
Well, if you trade for a player, that player can only play in one game.
Oh, in like week three of the, okay. Oh, it's that specific.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, so that's the rule. All right,
What if somebody played in a noon game on Sunday, got traded, and then played on Sunday Night Football?
Oh,
that would be something. Stuff of legends.
That would be something. We got a question from a listener yesterday on Twitter that you and I both liked.
Yeah.
That we need to dig into, and it has to do with Jalen Ramsey. Seth and I are going to power rank the Texans most likely to go Jalen Ramsey on William O'Brien Esquire General Manager's ass. We will talk about that next. So we got a. We got an interesting tweet from a listener yesterday, Seth.
We did. He was afraid he was going to insult us by, he said, I don't want you guys to think that you don't know what you're doing with your show prep, but here's an idea.
Yeah.
I will never be insulted. Do you think I want to work at this job? No. If you guys want to do plan out segments for us, I will never be insulted.
Let me encourage that right now. At Seth C. Payne, at Sean T. Pendergast, if you want to send us topics like this, yes,
I mean, we could just lift topics off of the ESPN ticker that I see every
off
day.
Of like Get Up and First Take.
Which quarterback do you want to start a franchise with? I feel like roll these things through.
They do. They just
They obviously
like
know
card
what they're
game.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
We need to just do more of that.
I did like the one they put up there earlier about whose career would you rather have, Ben Roethlisberger or Eli Manning?
Oh, would this include off-the-field transgressions?
I think that's part of their career because with Ben, it did seep into the on-the-field because he got suspended.
You
got to factor that in.
Roethlisberger's involves a lot more physical pain.
Yeah.
Playing for the Steelers or playing for the Giants, I'd rather have played for the Steelers, even though I know the Giants brings with it that whole all the business opportunities, everything afterwards because it's in New York City and it's a New York Giants. But the Steelers are just that old school, gritty, tough football team.
Yeah, they're both blue blood teams, but they're different vibes for sure.
I'll take Roethlisberger.
You'll take Roethlisberger? See, I'm going to take Eli because, and some of it depends on how we define career. Because
I'm assuming that my escapades in bathrooms were consensual. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I'm not putting myself into Roethlisberger's potential transfer.
Right. Maybe you got to take his 4-game suspension that he got. That's part of the career.
That's true. Okay, so that's always going to hang over him.
Yeah.
There's always going to be jokes about. So would you rather? Yeah. Okay. I'd rather be made fun of for my goofy face than for potentially being a criminal.
I think a big part of it is I would rather be the person Eli Manning than be the person Ben Roethlisberger. Their careers are similar in that Roethlisberger statistically is the better quarterback. They both won 2 Super Bowls, right? Eli was MVP in both of his Super Bowls. So they've had similar careers. Roethlisberger, the better statistical quarterback. Eli might be more revered in his own market than even Ben Roethlisberger is. I feel like Roethlisberger is probably a little bit polarizing in Pittsburgh.
I feel like in Pittsburgh, if you try to have this, because Roethlisberger is a clear-cut Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But if you started that debate in Pittsburgh and said, is Roethlisberger a Hall of Famer? I feel like there would be a lot of Pittsburghers, who would say, I mean, yeah.
Right.
With Eli.
Oh, my
Eli,
God.
They get downright rabid about it.
They go to the
it.
Mattresses yeah. for Eli, man. It's unbelievable.
And he's dying. He shouldn't be in.
And I think just from a demeanor standpoint, Eli looks like he goes through life without a care in the world, like a feather on a breeze.
I would say that he's probably happier at his core. Like, he's probably a happier day in and day out guy than Ben
100%. Yeah. So I would take Eli.
But then we're going into, okay, but yeah, there's lots of, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are way happier than both those guys.
Yeah, but I trust
who
Eli.
Who just have like average jobs. They got an average job and an average life, and they love that life. Yeah. They're not tormented by this drive that other people have.
They're not part of our hypothetical.
I'd rather be Jim in a Atascocita, whoever that guy is, yes, than Eli or Ben.
Oh, just, I don't know.
For one day of peace where my brain isn't racked with all these demons, yes.
Does Eli look like someone who's bothered by any of that?
No.
That's my point.
I feel like if you went up to Eli and said, like, dude, you know it's only because you're born into that family. And he'd be like, yeah, okay. What am I going to do about it? What can I do? Disown myself?
Did you see his press session, his media session he did?
Yeah, a lot of perspective. He said, I'm not dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a guy who happened to win two Super Bowls. Like, he's like, I even just.
Okay, now we're going a little
too far. Let me explain myself. He is not, and people say this about Eli versus Peyton. Peyton is a guy who, from the time he exited the womb, was being groomed and grooming himself to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Eli Manning happened to be a Manning who had all the athletic genes. You even said yourself yesterday during a break that if Eli Manning were born into some other family somewhere else, if he were separated at birth from the Manning family and you plunked him down in some other family in Louisiana somewhere.
He would have been a swimmer.
He'd have been on Swamp People.
Yeah.
You said it yourself yesterday.
I would say he might not have even chosen football. Yes. He might have been like, oh, I'm a good swimmer. I'm going
to
do that. Yeah.
So when I say he happened to win two Super Bowls, I'm kind of saying what you said to me privately yesterday.
He wasn't
in a different
like
way.
You get the sense that Peyton obviously had the advantage of his father and everything. But like if Peyton had been born into a normal family, it was in him and he was driven to achieve, and he probably would have been a pretty damn good quarterback.
Yes,
Eli, he was genetically gifted. That's part of being born into that family. But it was almost he was washed along with the tide. You know what, Peyton had scuba gear on. He left the submarine. And he, like a seal, he swam into beach under cover of night. And like he's staked out on the beach looking at the enemy. And then all of a sudden the next morning, Eli just washes up haphazardly next to him. Like, hey, Peyton. He's like all loud.
And steps on a gun that accidentally goes off and kills the main terrorist.
That's right. Yeah, he accidentally shoots the terrorist.
Right. That's the helmet catch.
Peyton's been planning and planning and planning. He's failed multiple times. Eli just stumbles into it.
Dude, how much did that have to torment Peyton? Oh, no, he had already won. Won his the year before. Yeah. Darn it. God, that would have been great if the helmet catch happened and Peyton still hadn't won a Super Bowl yet. Like, oh my God. My dopey younger brother gets out of the clutches of a defensive lineman and blindfoldedly hurls a ball downfield that some dude pins on his helmet and wins a Super Bowl. I have been prepping for this moment from the time I was 2 months, from the time that I could basically make a noise with my mouth. I've been preparing for this, and this dope over here has won a Super Bowl.
I will say, now, Eli is way smarter than people wanted to give him credit for, and one of the most impressive moments that I'll always remember to kind of counterbalance the goofy derp face that he has, it was when, in Peyton's Super Bowl, when, remember they scored the touchdown, it was in the second Super Bowl, I think, with the Broncos. They scored the touchdown late, and they zoom up to the box, and Archie and Eli have, like, their faces are stone. Everybody else is celebrating and everything. And people tried to make something of it that hey,
like,
oh, wow.
Jealous or
yeah,
something.
He's jealous or something. It was totally just that the two quarterbacks were thinking about what comes next.
Yes.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool to see, like, Eli's, like, in his brain doing the calculations of what's the game management after this. That was really cool to see.
Are we sure that's what Eli was doing? Archie, maybe.
Eli was thinking about tacos.
Right, no,
he was like, I wonder if there was sour cream for the tacos earlier, and now there isn't any. Am I going to look like a jerk if I ask for sour cream?
They showed like the thought bubbles over each of their heads. Like Archie's got like the Goodwill Hunting thing going on with all the equations. Eli's got like a picture of SpongeBob picking his nose, something or like a cow chewing grass.
He wasn't jealous. He was just being dumb.
That was funny. So. Back to our listener, kind enough to, did you see what this listener's name is on Twitter?
What is it?
The Unsullied, but still got one. Game of Thrones joke.
That's a game, yeah. So he's a badass, but he still also got his pair.
Right.
Did the Unsullied and Game of Thrones, for people that don't know Game of Thrones, there were this band of warriors. They were former slaves, but who had been, they'd been raised to be warriors, and part of keeping them tame was... They would cut off their junk at birth, or when they were babies. And I don't know if it was, or no, not when they're babies, when they're a little bit older than that.
Yeah,
it's like when they're conscious enough to, old enough to. Did they lose all three of the things down there or just two?
Not sure.
Okay.
Not sure.
All right.
Text in 713-572-4610. These are the things that matter. So the tweet that we got from the listener, at the risk of sounding like I don't believe in y'all's show prep, which I do, who do you all think would be a candidate for a high drama divorce from the Texans? Clowney was mostly low drama, but who might be like litigating over pots and pans a la Jalen Ramsey? That's a great divorce joke, right?
Nick
there,
Martin.
By the way.
Nick Martin's going to hold out next year, 1 year after
he just got signed.
Yeah, no, he's like, his timing is horrible. Have you not seen that? He snaps the ball too early. He's going to start his disgruntlement too early too.
It's true. The worse he plays, the more he got paid.
What if Nick Martin walks in next June? It's like, I believe I've outperformed. Look, before you paid me for mediocre play before. This year I actually played well.
Slightly above
I think
mediocre.
I'm going to need more money. No, it won't be Nick Martin.
So who are even? I think you start with the question. Okay, who are even the candidates to be in what would be called a high profile divorce?
Because Clowney handled it pretty damn well. Whatever disgruntlement there was, he was very, very quiet about it until the very end.
Okay. Throw some names out.
The ugliness I could see, and this has nothing to do with his personality at all, but it just has to do with how ugly these things can sometimes get. We saw it with Andre. Andre wasn't a loud guy or a brash guy, but as it gets down towards the end of a great player's career,
I know where you're going.
Could it potentially get ugly with J.J. Watt?
He's got 2 years left on his deal after this season.
So after this season, he's got two more years. I don't think the Texans would ever go to him and say, hey, we need you to take a pay cut.
No.
They wouldn't do that.
No
but
chance.
Going into that last year, if J.J. wants a new contract, and let's say, what if his play has trailed off a little bit? Would it get ugly? Would it get ugly, or would it stay? I don't think it would. I don't think it would.
I think some of it depends on what's gone on with other guys on the team.
Yeah.
I put it this way. If they had given Clowney the deal that Clowney wanted,
mm-hmm.
and then we're a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, where JJ still has a year left on his deal, and Clowney's making more than JJ, and JJ's as good a player as Clowney, or maybe even is a little below Clowney, but he feels like, man, I'm JJ Watt. Like,
yeah.
You know, I've been the icon for this franchise. Boy, it's really tough to give a guy, to pay a guy more than your highest paid guy if he's not as good a player.
JJ will be 32. He's 30 now. He'll be 32 in the last year of his contract. No matter how good a defensive lineman is, it's hard to foresee him being dominant into that 35. There are very, very few 35-year-old defensive linemen in the NFL. And I wonder what and JJ will be realistic about that. So I think it ends up, I think they'd come to some amenable agreement where it's a short-term contract.
I do too. But that one probably, Seth, has the most potential combustible elements to it that could lead to something.
Because
like that.
There aren't many guys on this team that look like they have the personality where they're going to publicly start trashing the team or something if they're not happy with the contract.
Well, or could be the level of player where you even worry about a divorce with the team. Like, you know, to me, the line you draw is probably a guy like Justin Reed.
I feel like Justin Reed would be so professional about it that you wouldn't know he was disgruntled until the trade was already in place. It would almost, there'd be a surprise trade announcement.
What about Will Fuller?
Will Fuller, again, personality. He seems so laid back. He also, this is what Will Fuller knows. Will Fuller knows that his injury history is going to do him in. And more so than Clowney even, I think Fuller knows that he's behind the eight ball when it comes to how a team has to handle his injuries. So I don't think it ends up being Will Fuller.
Okay, three more names. I like this. Okay. This is fun. I want to rapid fire these names off of you because I feel like you're creating an area of expertise here.
So we're going to say, would these guys be potential Jalen Ramsey?
Right.
Publicly disgruntled. Would they be publicly disgruntled?
Divorce, yes.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Would Deshaun Watson get publicly disgruntled? I don't think so because I just don't think that.
It won't get to that.
So these quarterbacks are getting redone so early now. So no.
Yeah. Laremy Tunsil.
Oh, Laremy Tunsil.
He's set up for drama.
He would be very smooth about it. He would get up and he would give a statement and he'd do a good job of convincing you to be on his side. What little I've seen of him in interviews is this guy should be a lawyer. He's very charismatic.
I loved him within 45 seconds of him opening his mouth.
He's got a presence about him. Yeah. If he chooses to go into politics when he's done, I think he could do well with it.
Yes.
I think it would be. It wouldn't be the same style as Jalen Ramsey. I think it would be a more professional disgruntlement. But yes, I could see. Given that when the Texans traded for him, they gave him ultimate leverage in just that they can't give up two first-round draft picks and not get him signed to a long-term deal.
I got one more.
Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins.
D-Hop has done this. The last time, he was very, I don't want to say standoffish, because I don't mean it in a bad way. He was very hands-off. Every time they asked him about it, he said, I'm going to let my agent do that. And he genuinely, like...
He held out for one day.
He held out for a day, and I very much felt that it was at the behest of his agent. Because he's with creative artists, is he not? And they kind of try to...
Probably, because he seems like a creative artist.
They try to push the envelope, and I think that... I don't think it would get ugly to where the barbs were exchanged or anything like that. But because of his agent, if he still has the same agent, that could get testy. It could turn into a holdout.
Here's what concerns me about Hopkins, Watt. Guys who are great players... And I don't throw the word great around a lot. They are a great player. They are the best among the best, if not the best, at what they do in football. DeAndre Hopkins has even more time left on his deal than JJ does. DeAndre's got 3 seasons left on his deal after this. So we know how football goes. He's going to watch a handful more receivers who aren't as good as him pass him in the pecking order. Michael Thomas is the most recent one. He's not as good as DeAndre. He's good. He's not as good as DeAndre Hopkins. He just surpassed DeAndre Hopkins, and he's got 3 more years left where he's going to theoretically be underpaid. This is where the Nick Martin contract comes in for me, Seth, is that Nick Martin was so overpaid, $11 million a year for 3 more years after this season, to where if indeed it's Bill O'Brien who's delivering this news to guys, who's the one doing these contracts, he and Chris Olsen, where there is no Nick Caserio who can come in and go, well, that was Coach O'Brien who gave Nick that contract, new sheriff in town. If it's O'Brien doing this stuff, this Nick Martin contract is basically open season for anybody who's good at football on the team
right.
to go, you're paying this guy.
You paid this guy?
Yeah.
You paid this guy?
Like,
no,
just,
and that
just,
goes on.
Just
That's
do
real.
Right by
that,
me.
That is real. That's something that I downplay locker room distraction, and I tend to be on the side of usually saying, all right, whatever, guys will deal with it and figure it out. That starts to be a distraction when guys that you don't perceive as being really good football players are getting paid like that. You start to wonder, okay, well, when is that? Guys start getting kind of vocal about that when it happens. And sometimes it's justified, sometimes it isn't. Because everybody thinks they should be getting paid more than
No,
they
I get it. But Hopkins and Watt are guys who can say it with a straight face.
Right, right.
So
this is the interesting thing. When the new CBA comes, sometime... After the maybe before the 2020 season or after the 2020 season, the salary cap is probably going to expand a lot. And that's when a guy like DeAndre Hopkins' deal starts to look really underpaid. If all of a sudden the cap expands by $50 million and guys start getting baseball player type money, that's where it might get interesting a couple years from now.
Yeah, well, and especially if guys start getting contracts where there's almost all guaranteed money, and there's DeAndre sitting at the tail end of his contract, the old style contract where you tack on 3 years that aren't guaranteed, and it's just funny money to make the agent look good.
You know what's weird was when I first came into the league, there were some guys who had been around, some veterans who'd been around when free agency first started. In the first year of free agency, there was something, I believe it was called Plan B free agency.
Yeah.
But it was almost like the whole team was a franchise tag.
Yeah.
Like the top, all your starters couldn't be free agents, but all these backups could.
It was
could.
Really good to be mediocre.
So you had these backup players that were making way more money than the starters on the team.
It was totally broken.
It was really weird for a little while.
Yep.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.